This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. We have a great show, wonderful guest coming on. He's a New York Times bestselling author, Stephen Rowley. And we're going to talk to Stephen a little bit about his latest little book here called The Dogs of Venice. What a fun, fun book. So I want to talk to Stephen a little bit about the book, talk about how it all came about, and then, of course, we'll pick his mind since he is a New York Times bestseller. We always try to get the goods on how you do it the best you can, so we'll pick his mind and brain a little bit on how he writes and everything. Hopefully not like me, throwing a dart against a board usually works best for me, but that's a side note. So everybody, hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is New York Times bestselling author, Stephen Rowley. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on, and I love the book. I mean, it's just, I call it just a sweet, heartwarming type of book. But there's some background behind it. I want you to share. Of course, we're talking about the latest book, The Dogs of Venice. So tell us a little bit about the book and just how it sort of came about.
Yeah, my very first novel, which came out in 2016, was a book called Lily and the Octopus, which was inspired by a dog that I had named Lily, a dachshund who passed away, gosh, about 12 years ago now.
Wow.
And, you know, I was really surprised by the grief that I felt from the loss of that relationship. You know, writing is a very solitary endeavor, and I don't think I realized how much I'd come to rely on the company of that dog. And it's also a very sedentary occupation. And so, you know, without that little cold nose on my leg to get me up out of the chair, I felt like I'd lost a big part of my life. And I realized, you know, the inspiration for that book was, you know, I don't think we talk about the grief we experience in losing pets. We have promoted them to full-fledged status, a family member status over the course of my lifetime. You know, I had dogs as a kid, and, you know, the dogs lived in the barn, you know, and now if you said you kept your dog in the barn, you'd call the ASPCA, right? But we haven't evolved the conversation about how we grieved them. So I had always been fascinated about writing about animals and dogs, and this book is a much happier one. In fact, I joked with my publisher, we should just call it Nothing Bad Happens to the Dog, because we know the tropes of, you know, animal books. But this is a much happier story that I wanted as a nice little sort of bookend to that first novel. And this is really about how dogs can bring us back to life.
Nice. And I love that aspect of it, because obviously, you know, Lily and the Octopus, obviously it was a marvelous job, fantastic, a wonderful hit for you there, because I don't think people talk enough about the grief of losing an animal. I've lost many over the years. Our boy, our toy schnauzer, Kramer, passed away in January. And, you know, not a second goes by that I don't think about him. And, you know, imagine he's going to be right beside me the whole way through. And I think that's part of it. You know, Dad, you know, as we grew up, you know, the dog perhaps was a pet, maybe a working dog, kept outside, those type of things. And now it's much different, but still we don't know how to talk about the grief of it all. You know, people tell us, okay, it's, you know, move on, get you another dog, get, you know, do something of that sort. And so I have to admit, when I got a copy of the book, The Dogs of Venice, I thought, okay, well, what am I going to learn now? What, you know, what are we talking about grief here? And all of a sudden, hey, this book's a happy book.
This is indeed a happy book. But I do think it's an important discussion, right? You know, it is one of my favorite things about people who love animals is I do think they have such brave hearts. right? You know, so many of us, we love them fully. You know, they don't let us keep them at an arm's distance. And, you know, they work their way right into our hearts. And we love them fully. And we know the deal going in. They don't, sadly, live as long as we do. But so many of us, you know, lose them, grieve them, and then get right back to the end of the line and sign up for that heartbreak all over again, because it's worth it, right? It's so worth it.
That's
and, you know, that's in The Dogs of Venice, we're dealing with someone who is mourning the end of a marriage, you know, so the end of a the loss of a human partner in a way, and really looks to dogs for their own resilience and to see what they can teach him about finding confidence and newfound independence. And I really think dogs are sort of wonderful for that. And of course, you add in a magical city like Venice, and which is known for having some street dogs, some wild street dogs who roam through the city quite freely. It was kind of like a magical combination of many ingredients.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. You have a perfect backdrop. And I think that's true about Venice. A lot of the places we think of as, you know, touristy type places, romantic type places, these things, they do have a large influx of, you know, feral dogs, feral cats around.
Yeah, and Rome is known for its cats. Venice has dogs. And so it was really quite fun to explore them, you know, and of course, other cultures, you know, the relationships with their animals are different than ours necessarily in the U.S. But it was fun to sort of look at them through the eyes of a tourist. And in this book in particular, he spots a singular dog that he admires. It's sort of the air of confidence that it exudes, and he's looking for that confidence again in his own life. And it sort of sparks a little adventure following this dog around the canals of Venice.
Yeah. And the thing about the book is, I was reading through The Dogs of Venice, you know, it was more of, he's trying to find himself, you know, after this heartache, after this terrible situation. And the impression I got when I read through it was, he wasn't necessarily thinking, well, hey, if I got a dog, everything would be better. Yeah, even though we know dogs make everything better, but that wasn't the purpose. But it was more of, hey, I found this dog, I see this dog, and he's really now getting me back into the world, teaching me things about life and being part of life and society and the world. And without even, you know, necessarily thinking, hey, that was my master plan all along, was find a dog to help me get out of this grief.
Yeah, I think, well, you and I know that dogs make everything better. Not everyone knows that secret, however. You know, this originally was a book that I wrote as an Audible original. It was narrated by Neil Patrick Harris and came out at the end of 2020, which was a dark year for a lot of us, where we were sort of sheltered at home and not able to travel. So I had some wanderlust built up from that year. And people remember COVID hit Italy particularly hard, yeah, and first before it hopped the Atlantic. And so, you know, my heart was with Italy and the Italian people and wanting to, you know, sort of reminisce about my times and visits to that great country. But I also, at the time, had a dog named Tilda, who was a rescue dog. And my partner and I had rescued her from an organization where she had been found living on the streets. She'd been shot up pretty good with a BB gun. You know, she'd endured some horrific things. And she was, you know, a little bit slow to come around. She was very independent. She wasn't, you know, affectionate right away. She had some trust issues, and I don't blame her. And so she was kind of the inspiration for this dog too, you know, and just sort of being able to observe her when we rescued her and give her the space to feel safe and trust that she would warm up on her own time was really, you know, it was a really special relationship.
It's amazing, you know, you've had many animals in your life and dogs in your life. Well, my wife is the regular Ellie Mae Clampett. She hasn't seen an animal she didn't like. So we've got them all. We've had them all, and we've got them all. And I'm sure there'll be many more to come along the way. But each one of them, I think, come at the right and perfect time and bring you what you need, whether you know it or not. And that's one of the things I also loved about the premise of the book, the fact that it, you know, it got him up and about, but also taught him the things that he didn't even realize he needed at that point until it was afterwards.
It's also one of my, it's remarkable that you say that. It's also one of my favorite things about books, Books have a remarkable way of finding us at the right time when we need them too. You know, and I always say, you know, there's no shame in not finishing a book. If a book is not speaking to you in a certain moment, that doesn't mean that there's anything bad about it. It may not just be the right moment for you, but I'm always amazed when the right book finds me at the right moment. And that definitely has been true with dogs as well. You know, I have two more rescues right now. But every relationship with, you know, each dog that I've had, is they've been different. And I think there's, you know, a couple, maybe, if you're lucky, in a lifetime that you have that special soul connection with. And the rest are like kind of goofy roommates sometimes too, but that's okay.
That's right.
That's okay. You know, their own unique relationship. But yeah, I do think each dog enters your life for a reason, for you to learn something. And then they just teach us so much.
Yeah, I love that. And I love your take on books, because I often look at my plethora of books and think, well, what does seashells have to do with dog books? And, you know, then I realized, was this a phase I was going through? It's like, no, you know, certain things at certain times, and books are that way. So it's a great take on that. I love that. I love that. Yeah.
Well, the one thing, a good thing about The Dogs of Venice, it's a novella. So it's a nice short read, but hopefully with a big, but hopefully packs a big punch.
Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does. So it's a fantastic book. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back to talk to Stephen Rowley about The Dogs of Venice a little bit more, and also talk about writing in general. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Or wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to Communicate with Animals is a four-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I continue our conversation with New York Times bestselling author Stephen Rowley and his book, The Dogs of Venice. Now, Stephen, when you put together the book, the little novella, was it more of a, you had a story idea and you wanted to put it out there? Was it a sort of a cleansing? Like you said, it came out around the time of COVID. And, you know, we all needed healing and something that would have a good impact on us. Or was it more of you thought of this idea and this concept and how to write the book, and then it totally changed by the time you got it out there?
Yeah, it's had its own interesting evolution. You know, I mentioned that it came out as an Audible original in 2020. I've rewritten it. I've expanded it for this print version. And I think it's a rare opportunity that a writer has to revisit some old work. And, you know, we learned so much with each book that we complete. You know, we're a different writer by the end of a book than we were when we started it. And so to go back and revisit something from 5 years ago was a real privilege of sorts. And I was able to sort of tackle it again with the skill set that I have now. And I was happy to discover that I was just as charmed by the story, and we were able to sort of open it up and expand it a little bit for new readers.
Love it. Love it. Definitely so. So let's get down to brass tacks of writing in general. I always love this, put this question out there. Are you a 5,000 word a day kind of guy, a 5:30 a.m. kind of guy, or like me, wait till a week before deadline and get it out the door?
Yeah, wait till a week beforehand and light myself on fire. No, I won't say 5,000 words a day. That seems ambitious to me, but I definitely, you know, I am the definition of a, what we call in the biz, a pantser, fly by the seat of your pants a little bit. I'm not a big outliner. I like to see where the story takes me, and I like to leave room to surprise myself. But I do try to stick to a strict word count. And if I have a good amount of time, that's between 1,000 and 2,000 words a day when, you know, writing a first draft. that's not to say they're 1,000 or 2,000 good words a day. I can go back, whatever. And I was like, whoa, that was a day. But, you know, that's, you know, something good for a first draft, I think.
That's the way I did 2,000 words a day. And then my editor says, no, 200 were actually good words. So
yeah, actually not a bad ratio.
Then I tell my editor, hey, I got some words for you, buddy. So, oh, that's great. Well, when you're writing then in general, do you have multiple ideas and things going through the process? What I'm trying to say, I guess, is have you ever started a book and thought, okay, I need to let that simmer a little bit because I've got this other idea that I want to go with, or maybe I'm going to let this simmer because my editor contacted me and says, hey, do you happen to have anything on this topic? We'll pay you to write on this topic. And you're like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. Maybe I'll write on that one.
Yeah, I mostly work in the sort of novel space. You know, it was so fun to work on a shorter story like this. And because sometimes you think you have a great idea for a novel and you get 80 to 100 pages in and it starts to peter out and you realize it really doesn't have the engine to go the distance. And so, yeah, sometimes things fall apart. The hardest part, you know, in writing a book is the lure of new ideas constantly. You know, it is like, you know, you're in a marriage with a novel and a hot new idea comes walking in the door. It's hard not to drop everything sometimes and be seduced. But that is, you know, sort of keeping your eye on the prize and sticking with the idea you have. Then hopefully there'll be time for more down the line.
Wise words for writing and wise words for relationships. We'll just put it that way. I like if a hot new topic comes to the door, turn your head and pretend you
don't
see
head.
It.
I know.
I love it. Well, Steve, tell us a little bit about where people can find out more about you, pick up a copy of the book, any activities and events you've got going on so they can keep track of what's happening.
Yeah. So the book debuts October 14th. I'll be doing some events around Southern California where I live in the following couple of weeks. All that information is on my website, stephenrowley.com. And I have a new novel coming out next year. So I'll be doing a more of a national tour next year with the novel. But until then, I'm very active on Instagram, and you can see my dogs right now if you
nice.
Want to. Raindrop and Shirley, the rescue dogs. And I'm at Mr. MR Stephen Rowley on Instagram.
Very good. We'll get all that information out. And everybody, if you're in Southern California, definitely pop out and have a chat with Steve and see what's going on. And hopefully that new novel has a dog or some sort of animal in there.
So it definitely has a dog. I think all my stories will always have an animal of some kind.
That's the way it is.
Life's not complete without it.
No, you got to put a dog or some animal in there and put it on the cover. If you do that.
Listen, maybe I'll do cats. It doesn't have to be such a world divided. But
that's right. We all need to come together nowadays. So cats. Cats and dogs living together. I love it. So everybody pick up a copy of the book. It's from New York Times bestselling author Stephen Rowley, The Dogs of Venice. You're going to love it. It's a fun book. It's lighthearted. It's just perfect. I think it's great. So Stephen, great job on the book.
Thank you so much.
Well, everybody, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making the show possible. If you have any ideas, comments, or people you want to hear from on the show or any of the shows, drop us a line. You can go to PetLifeRadio.com and we'll answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts. It's Cornucopia Barking Fun. That's at PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.